This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the one true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate this glorious feast, of the Trinity, this feast of God as he is in himself. We celebrate today this mystery, this great mystery of our faith. We know the truth of this sublime mystery because it has been revealed to us by God himself. We know it by faith. It is a supernatural mystery, so it is something that we can only know by faith. If God hadn't told us about himself that this is the way that he is in himself, we could not have figured it out on our own. Indeed, from the first day in which God created man, that sixth day of creation, in which he said, "Let us make man into our image and likeness," that plural already was giving us some hints of this truth, this knowledge of himself. And of course, you know, some of the other prophets too, they had some glimpses of this majesty of God, of this threeness and oneness. We can see it perhaps in the prophet Isaiah, when in his vision he said, "Holy, holy, holy." This triple holiness, this threeness in the sign of the Trinity. But it was not clearly professed for all to know and to believe until the second person of the Trinity would come into the world and teach us himself. He would join in his person a human nature, and he would come to teach this truth with all its glory. And since we have this word of God himself, there can be no doubt of the truth of it. He has told us in the gospel today to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, this Trinity, as he has told us elsewhere that there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So we know this truth that has been told to us. We profess it, we believe it. But perhaps even better for our understanding is the way in which the divine person was sent into the world, or rather the persons have been sent into the world. We know that our Lord, in his life, he taught us not only with word, but by example, by his actions. Indeed, all of the things which he did are also for our instructions. Very often his miracles are related directly to the truths which he is teaching at the time. His whole life is as a teaching to us. His whole life is a model to us. But we can see also the processions of the Trinity shown to us and the way in which the divine person proceeded into the world, because he was sent by his Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us that time and again, "My will is to do the will of him who sent me. My meat is to do the will of the Father." The Father has sent me, so I also have sent you. He was sent into the world by the Father, and he mentions only the Father when he talks about being sent into the world. Just as in the Trinity, he is begotten from the Father alone. The Father begets the Son, and the Son is the perfect image of the Father. And then also when our Lord had finished and his job, when he had done what the Father had sent him to do, he goes back to the Father. And he says that unless he goes, the Paraclete will not come. Indeed, he goes back to the Father in order to teach us that, yes, the second truth of the Trinity, you know, that the Father and the Son together breathe forth the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost rather proceeds from the both of them when he comes into the world. It was only after the Son had returned to the Father that the two together would send forth the Holy Ghost. This is also, you know, this is an instruction to us of the processions of the Trinity, the way that the Trinity exists and has existed from all eternity, for that's the difference. The persons came into the world in time, but in the Trinity, it's from all eternity. There is no time. They have always been and they always will be, the Father begetting the Son, the Father and the Son together, spirating or breathing forth the Holy Ghost. This, as I said, is the great truth, the most sublime truth of our faith. And there is, you know, a danger whenever we start to think about or talk about the Trinity, because it is so high, it is so much above our ability to comprehend. And this is why, you know, the Catechism of the Council of Trent rather cautions us to be careful that too much curious inquiry into this mystery is not healthy. But that is not to say that we should not think about it at all or not spend any time on this mystery at all. Indeed, that's why we have this feast today, to celebrate it, but to look at it not as in trying to comprehend, but but just with admiration, with love. To quote my professor from dogmatic theology in the seminary, he said, in the case where, you know, we just say it's a mystery and never go any further, then he said, in that case, it will be much more of a mystery for some than for others. No, we should not just be satisfied with this idea of God as a triangle sitting on a cloud. Indeed, we use the triangle, we use the shamrock, we use many of these things as expressions of the Trinity, as ways of trying to remind ourselves of it, these analogies to help us to come to an idea of the truth of the mystery, this truth which God has revealed. But we must not let them replace what the knowing of God that we are meant to do. Father Lean would say that there is a difference between the knowing of God which we have to do in order to be saved. Why did God create us? The knowing of God that God created us to do, and just the knowing of facts about God, the knowing the truths about God. We must be careful not to confuse what it means to know God with just knowing simply things about Him. There are three persons in God, and we are meant to know them, to know the persons. To use an example, if you have the card of an athlete, the sports card, whether it be a baseball card or a football card or something like that of a player, you can learn things about that person on them. You know, where they went to college, where they went to school, you know, whatever things might be on there, the length of their arms sometimes, you know, all these different stats that we can learn about people. But yet, if I were to ask you, do you know that the person on that card? Well, you would say, no, even though you may know their birth date, you may know their name, you may know their dog, whatever it might be, you still do not know them as they are in their personality, in their persons. Because to truly know a person is to have an awareness of them, to know of their tastes, to have sort of an association, an intimate association with the person. So yes, we must be careful not only to know facts about God, but really to try to be intimately associated with the three persons, to be aware of their personalities, to grow in our understanding of them. This way, which we grow in knowledge of a person is what we see, you know, between friends. You know, two friends, once they really start to know each other, they become closer and closer. They grow in that union and in that friendship and their awareness of the other person, of their likes and dislikes, of the things that they think, so that oftentimes we can know what they're thinking without them even having to say anything. This is also the knowledge that we should try to obtain with the Trinity. Of course, knowing that the Trinity is infinite, we can see how even with finite people, oftentimes even after years, we do not fully know the person. You could perhaps ask Mr. and Mrs. Cheikis if they still sometimes find after 50 years that there are things that they are still learning about the person whom they married. Yes, but with the Trinity, they are infinite persons, so there is an infinite amount that we can learn about them. God here, too, has given us a help to know the persons of the Trinity, to know their personalities, and this we call appropriation. Appropriation meaning we attribute to certain persons, certain actions. For we know that while there are three persons in God, there is only one nature. So whatever is a work of the divine nature is actually a work of all three persons. They do the three, the nature does it, and so all three are there because they share that same nature. But in order for us to see the personality, to see the persons, to see the different personalities of them, we appropriate or we attribute certain things to the different persons, certain works to different ones, because of the likeness which that work has to the person themselves within the Trinity. And thus, for that reason, we attribute the works of power to the Father, because the Father is not begotten, but begets the other two. He is involved, he begets the Son, and he is also involved with the Son in the procession of the Holy Ghost. So to him is ascribed the works of creation, the works of power, the works of might. To the Son, who is that perfect image of God the Father, who is attributed, is appropriated, the works of wisdom, judgment, governance, these things which require, which we see the wisdom of God, they are appropriated to to the Son. And then, of course, the works of love to the Holy Ghost, since the Father and the Son, seeing each other, or rather, you know, having each other, have such a great love there that it produces the third person, the Holy Ghost. So the works of love, the works of grace, the works of sanctification and goodness, they are appropriated to the Holy Ghost. And this is, again, because of the likeness which they bear to the person, to that distinction within the Trinity of the persons, the relations that they have with each other. And this is a great gift to us in order to be able to come to that knowledge of the persons, to see them, to try to help to learn of them, to draw closer to them. And so today on this great feast, let us ask for the grace of an increase in the true knowledge of God, to receive an increase in the association of ourselves with the three persons, that they may become more close, that we may become more aware of them. In this way, the closer we come to God, the closer we become to our eternity, to our blessedness, to the blessedness which they want for us in heaven. Indeed, to know the one true God is what it means to have life. That is our supernatural life. For when we were baptized and our spiritual life, our supernatural life began, again, Father Lien would say that we were plunged into the Trinity. We were plunged into by receiving our participation in this divine life of the three persons in ourself. And we know that whenever we're in the state of grace, we have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But again, that indwelling of the Holy Ghost, while it's appropriated to Him, is still all three persons. The Trinity is there, dwelling within our soul. And we have to not neglect Him, but to not neglect them, but really to draw close to them, to seek to foster that friendship, that union with which they want for us also. We must try to do as so many saints have done, that from going from the knowledge of the truth of the Trinity, of these truths of our faith, it becomes more real to us by the knowledge of the persons themselves, getting to know them and growing even in experience of them. Much as, you know, a Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity would do. She would have such an experience of the Trinity that she was able to write about the Trinity in ways that amazed even the greatest theologians, though she had never really made an in-depth study of theology. She had such an experience, such a love, such a knowledge of the Trinity in this way, that she was able to write in that way, to have this great knowledge of them, and thus began her eternity even here on this earth. Let us pray, of course, also to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is so also intimately associated with the three persons, through her cooperation, through her work, and their plan in this world, the redemption of man, the sanctification of souls, the incarnation, the redemption, and the sanctification. She is involved with all three. She is associated with all three persons. To ask her also that we might come to this knowledge of God, that we may come closer to have a greater love for these truths, so that we may one day, by knowing the one true God, obtain eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.